Chapter 4. Circle of Hell. 2 weeks passed, frozen and bleak, trekking southward, ever southward. The dark company skirted the edge of the northern weald, crossing the frozen Rodea River and cutting around the grim city fort of Redwatch. If Dior thought of Gabriel, the journey they'd taken together across these same frozen wastes, growing fonder with every step, she gave no hint to her captors. The bruise his hand had left on her face was faded now. Who could speak to the bruise on her heart? The Divok fed from their scorched, only a mouthful each night, so as not to weaken them, but both vampires were clearly hungered, and their men clearly stretched. They'd found Dior's lockpicks after her recapture, never more leaving her unguarded, but after learning of her destination, the Grail made no further attempts to escape. Instead, she lay trussed up like a firstmas hog behind the wolf mother, riding ever south toward Dun Megen, praying through every mile of that frozen hell. It was on the banks of the Volta she at last found reprieve. They trotted beneath the shell of San Guillaume, Dior's eyes shining as she looked up to the monastery where the company of the Grail had been slaughtered by the Beast of Velen only a few months and 100 lifetimes ago. But passing beneath those lonely cliffs, their pace slowed, and after countless leagues and winter's deep nights, in the cold light of the rising sun, the girl saw with horror what they'd been chasing all this while. A convoy. 3 dozen wagons gathered around a roaring bonfire, guarded by 50 thrallswords and twice that many foulbloods, chained in a rotten mob. The wagons were the same as we'd seen at Avalane, rusty iron cages rising up from wooden trays, and just like at Avalane, every cage was filled near to bursting. Men, women, children, the ragged remnants of Aaron da Costa and Baptista Sa Ismael's dream, now reduced to nothing but cattle. Over 1,000 of them. Chiara spurred her pony on, Dior's head bouncing mercilessly off the beast's flank until they drew to a halt at the inner ring of carriages. Cries of the mistress, Mistress Chiara returns, rang among the wasted trees, soldiers in Divok livery taking a knee around the flames. Dior shivered, her breath catching at the awful sights about her, frost-bitten fingers curled around rusted bars, and eyes bereft of hope peering out from between them.
Ah, dear wolf mother,
a low, sweet voice said.
I thought we'd lost you.
Dior dragged her eyes from the poor souls around her, searching for the one who'd spoken. It was a short woman in fine dark leathers, a fawn frock coat and tricorn, a mighty greatsword at her back. Her black hair was bound in braids, so long they near brushed the frost at her feet. She looked perhaps 30. Possessed of sharp, dark eyes and a perilous grace, 2 circles of what must have been blood daubed on her cheeks. Sutheami, born. The woman's skin was dark like all her kinfolk, yet greyed by the grim pallor of death. Another vampire.
I am certain, sweet Saraya, Chiara said. Your heart bled at the thought of my fall.
The smaller vampire's lips twisted in a mirthless smile. The wolf mother nodded to an iron box atop one of the wagons, wrapped in heavy chain. How fares the bairn? Saraya shrugged, tossing her braids back off her shoulders.
Still not drinking willingly, but he drinks eventually.
Chiara chuckled,
dark as poison. Don't we all? Soraya tipped her tricorn back, looked the bigger woman over. You seem of a pleasant mood. I'd have bet you'd be shedding blood at thought of our delay. Good hunting, was it? That it was, little sister. That it was. The smaller vampire prickled at the diminutive, sharing a swift glance with the newly arrived Cain. Good enough to warrant whatever happened to your face, cousin. The blood witch who got Rickard take a slice from you, too? The headsman scowled as he dismounted, the claw scars across his features only deepening. But Kiara patted Dior, trussed up on her saddle, and the third vampire's gaze sharpened as she noted the girl for the first time. Breathing deep now, Soraya pressed the tip of her bright red tongue to a sharpening canine as she looked Dior over like ripe fruit. Now what? She breathed. In great Toliev's name is that? A prize, little sister. Kiara grinned. One the Blackheart will thank the bearers of. We return with lion's blood on our hands, sweet Soraya, and raven's gold in our purses. Soraya frowned, clearly confused. Kiara only grinned the wider. Get our mouse stowed, poet. The wolf mother glanced to the kennel boy, arriving now with the other scorched. Throw her in with the other valuables, safe and warm. Lady Soraya and I have much to talk about. Joaquin bowed and lifted Dior effortlessly, cradling her in his arms as he trudged toward one of the sturdier wagons closest to the fire. Another thrall sword unbolted the heavy door, and the people within shrank back, wide-eyed and fearful. Joaquin's brow darkened, glancing around the other wagons circling the flames. They're all full.
We've snatched up some more refugees on the way here,
the man said, scratching his rough beard.
And Lars and Quinn brought another bundle down 6 nights back. Those brats from Avalane that the lion cut loose. Making a break for Leon, they was.
Dior paled at those words. It was clear the man spoke of little Mila and the other children who'd been left in the care of Gabriel's old apprentice. She gazed around those cages, then up at the boy who held her, plaintive and pained. Joaquin Maren had called Avalane home, after all, scorched out of simple expediency so Kiara might track Gabriel better through the Nightstone, and left for dead once his usefulness had run out. But if any affection for the folk he'd grown up with remained within, there was nothing of it in his eyes as he nodded to the wagon. There's no room, he pointed out.
Allow me,
came a growl. Cain stepped forward, reaching into the cage and grabbing the first mortal he saw, a young fellow not much older than Dior. The youth cried out as the vampire's hand closed about his wrist, other folk screaming as he was dragged out the door. He wailed, struggling with all he had, but his captor held him in a grip like iron, and as Dior watched, wide-eyed, Cain bared long, bright fangs and sank them deep into the poor fellow's throat. She'd never seen a vampire truly feed from a mortal before. The few sips she'd witnessed on the road here held no candle to the full horror of it all, because it was not fear that welled in the youth's eyes as those teeth punctured his neck. It was bliss. He groaned as Cain drank deeper, eyes rolling back, lips curled in a euphoric smile. And were they not pinned at his sides, he'd have surely thrown his arms around the thing that was killing him. Because Cain was killing him. Stop! The Grail said. She struggled in Joaquin's implacable grip, horrified and furious. Make him! No! Stop! Stop! The headsman paid her no heed. The youth in his arms stiffened, breath rattling now, smile gone blue. But still the vampire drank, groaning, growling. With one final gasp, his victim shivered, like a lover reaching his ending, every muscle taut. And then Cain released his murderous grip, letting the body drop, thump, lifeless into the snow. The headsman sneered, rubid spools of stolen life stretching between his lips.
Now there's room for ye, girl.
And turning on his heel, he stomped after Soraya and the wolf mother.
Dior looked down at the dead youth, struggling not to retch.
Joaquin exchanged a glance with the other thrall, but breathing deep, he lifted Dior and shoved her into the stink and crush of the other valuables in the cage, locking the door behind her. His comrade picked up the fresh corpse like it were straw, and without a backward glance, the pair stomped toward the bonfire, Elena following on her master's heels with wagging tail.
Joaquin!
A voice cried. The hound boy stopped, turning back to Dior's wagon, blinking at the figure now reaching through the bars. It was Isla, of course, the Ossian lass who'd snarled at Gabriel over potatoes, who'd told Dior she should have left her to the Divok.
Isla, he whispered.
Aye, it's me.
The lass pressed her face to the bars, twin beauty marks on a cheek wet with tears.
Oh God, Joaquin, I thought you were dead. I thought they got ye.
The hound boy glanced at the thrall sword beside him, the dead around him, the chill dawn wind blowing flurries of snow between them. The way Isla had spoken about her ever after, these two had loved each other true before Aveline's fall. But now, reunited, Joaquin stared at his beloved as if she were a stranger. Cold, hard, eyes like stone.
They did get me, he replied.
And without another word, he trudged off toward his fellows. Dior bit her lip as Isla called her beau's name. Another scorched, bellowed for quiet, and cracked his truncheon across her hand, the girl wailing as she pulled it back inside the bars. Cold iron pressed against Dior's cheek, her heart thumping with a dreadful cadence now, the horror of where she truly was finally laid bare. Miles into bleak wilderness, headed toward a land she'd never seen, in the captivity of monsters she'd never imagined. She met Isla's eyes, the girl giving her a small nod of recognition, her lips pinched tight as she nursed her wounded hand. Dior's voice was soft in the gloom.
Where did they catch you? A few days north of Aveline, the girl replied. We didn't get far without ye.
Dior sighed.
What happened to Freyr Lochlan? Did he fall?
Isla shook her head.
He left us. Left you? He was supposed to look after you. Why would he? We met other Silver Saints on the river,
Isla murmured.
Heading south, Freyr Lochlan spoke with a big man with a hand made of iron. I heard not what they said, but the Freyr grew upset, furious even, and with barely a word he sent us on towards San Mishon alone, and headed back south with his brethren.
Shit. Dior hung her head, breathing deep.
I'm sorry, Isla. The fault isn't yours, Mademoiselle Lachance. This is the will of
Mademoiselle Lachance.
Dior's pale blue eyes widened, and she turned toward that voice, breath catching in her lungs. And she saw him then, squeezed in tight among the prisoners, but tall enough to loom above them, his disbelieving smile bright as the sun had once been.
Baptiste!
She whispered the big Sudeyamese name as he started pressing toward her, struggling through the tight-packed bodies. Dior plunged into the crush, smaller than he, slipping her way past elbows and ribs. and somewhere in the thick of it they reached each other, the black thumb struggling to get his big arms around her.
Great Redeemer, Dieu, it is you.
Baptiste,
she sobbed, hugging him like a drowning girl hugs driftwood.
Oh, thank the martyrs and Mother Maid, we thought you were dead.
I'm fine, sweet child.
He breathed, dark eyes shining with tears.
God's truth, I never thought to see you again. The scouts we sent never returned, and then the Divok.
The black thumb shook his head, drawing her back to meet his eyes. He was a handsome man, the smith of Avalane, strong jaw and dark skin, hair cropped short, salt and pepper at his temples and in the whiskers on his chin. He wore dark leathers trimmed with pale fur and stained with blood, big, forge-calloused hands squeezing hers gently.
How comes it you're here? Good sakes, where is Gabriel?
It must have hit her then, to finally hear my brother's name. For weeks, Dior had been mired in a world of enemies, not daring to show weakness, to reveal how deep she bled. But there, in the Black Thumb's arms, something appeared to break inside her, some dam of pain and grief, crumbling now to rubble in his embrace.
He fell,
she whispered, tears spilling down her cheeks.
I don't know if...
Sorrow washed over Baptiste's face, grief and pain and despair, as one more loss was added to his tally. The Black Thumb wrapped the girl up and hugged her as she sobbed, her whole body shaking with anguish. Smoothing her blood-stained ashen hair with one gentle hand, he murmured comforts, his own eyes shining with grief.
Hush now, chérie,
he told her, jaw clenched.
No tears for the faithful fallen. They dwell in the kingdom of heaven, at the right hand of the Holy Father.
Forgive me. I know you've your own grief to bear.
Dior pressed her brow to his chest, as if to steady herself, and breathing deep, she looked up to meet his eyes.
I know about Aaron Baptiste. I'm so sorry.
A shadow seemed to fall over the Black Thumb then, his shoulders sagging, a murmur of cold horror rippling through Isla and the others crammed into that awful cage. Baptiste's voice was thick and raw, and he frowned as he searched Dior's face.
How could you know about Aaron, chérie?
Gabe found his sword at Avalane, broken in half. God, I'm so sorry, mon ami. I know you loved him true. He might not have died if...
Chérie.
Baptiste was trembling now, anguish burning in the coals of his eyes. He glanced toward that iron box atop its wagon, wrapped in heavy chain, tears spilling down his cheeks. He tried to speak, but it seemed as if he had forgot the shape of words. Isla spoke for him then, the girl's face drawn and pale, her mouth downturned in sorrow.
I was mistaken when I spoke at Avalane, Mademoiselle Lachance. Captain Aaron is not dead.
Dior's face fell as the lass shook her head.
He is dead.